darkness of a winter's eve, baby Jesus came to earth. In the stillness, hear creation sing of a little baby's birth, born in a manger long ago. How could the Savior love me so? He left his throne for Calvary. He came to earth for me. Not a palace where to give a king, nor a pillow for a bed, not a scepter for his royal hand, nor a crown adored his head. Born in a manger long ago, how could the Savior love me so? He left his throne for Calvary. He came to earth for me. I have nothing fit to give a king, but I long to do my part. All I treasure I will gladly bring, for I give him all my heart. Born in a manger long ago, how could the Savior love me so? He left his throne for Calvary. He came to earth for me.
John chapter 15, please turn there. We are looking at the complete I Am. John chapter 15 is where we're at this morning. Jesus is giving himself to his disciples and to us, and he is giving his complete self, everything that he has. Everything that we need is in Jesus, and that's what we're looking at, and I hope that it is, if I could say gently, getting pounded into, I'll say it lightly, not your heads, but hopefully your heart. Hopefully your heart is seeing, Jesus is all the world to me. When we sing that song, my life, my joy, my all. Jesus is everything. And in that we are complete. The complete I Am. Jesus is nearing his crucifixion. He's spending time with his disciples. He's giving his heart to them. They are leaving the location of that last time together. They are descending down into the Brook Kidron, the valley, the Kidron Valley, and then going to make their way up to the place, of course, where Jesus is going to be betrayed, the Mount of Olives. And it is here that Jesus stops and uses an illustration. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. Did he see, you know, of a vine? I don't know. Some would say he did. Some would say he didn't. But either way, Jesus stops. And we look at verse 1 of chapter 15. And he, just like he did to Thomas, just like he did to others, is saying, I want you to understand something, disciples, that everything that you need is right here within me. And he uses the vine illustration. John chapter 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, he's going to go on and talk about the vine and the fruit and the husbandman a little bit more. But this morning, we've gone through that very thoroughly already. But I want to draw your attention to the statement that Jesus said. Here we have another statement that identifies Jesus as being God. He said, I am. What does I am mean? Now, we've reviewed it in the last several weeks many times. What does the word or the phrase I am mean? Roger, I'm turning myself on here, okay? Now, I could tell when I stepped back a little bit that I wasn't being picked up, so I knew I didn't flip my switch here. I am. What does that mean, I am? We go back to the Old Testament, and we look at Jehovah, I am. That means he's the self-existent one. He doesn't need any help to be anything, but he is everything. He is everything that we need. I am. You know, we could go through a list of things of what we need this Christmas. Some of you make a Christmas list, and here's what I need. I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. Some of your lists are like this, and some of your lists are a mile long, okay? And you come up with all kinds of things that you're lacking in. Now, I don't think that any of us this Christmas have made a list with a bunch of character things of this is what I lack and this is what I don't have and this is what I could use. But the fact of the matter is Jesus is there for us where we lack. He is everything and he's self-existent. He doesn't need us. He is who he is. I am. And we could come up with a lot of blanks of things that we need or we lack in. And Jesus is there to step in and say, Sean, I am that for you. It is certainly a blessing to know that he is there as everything that I need, I am. He identifies himself here as God. I am. To these disciples, I am. And as he walks by possibly this vine, this grapevine that is there, he stops and he says, I am the true vine. Now, before we look at the fact that he's the true vine, let's look and see what is a vine. And this would be a review for many of you. Some of you have places where you have had vines, maybe inside your house, maybe outside of your house. There are vines that grow. There's significance to that vine. What is a vine? We know that vines supply life, don't they? Have you ever taken a branch off of the vine? And of course, when we're looking at this illustration, we understand the vine is kind of like the trunk, the main vessel of delivery for that sap or the water or whatever, that the nutrients, the food that plant needs. The vine is kind of like that trunk, the main branch, if you could say, going through. And then off of the main, then you have shoots of branches. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. We've got a main trunk, and then we've got the branches off of that. So when we're talking about the vine, we're talking about the main part of it, okay? And some of you have grown vines, or you didn't plant them, but you've had vines. Vines are there, and they're amazing. They're strong. They're tough. They're very resilient. They're very hard to get rid of if you want to get rid of them. Vines are strong. They supply a lot of things for then the offshoots, the branches, which then go to the fruit or the leaves that are there. And so it's a process. But the vine, it's certainly the life of the plant. You take off a branch from the vine and it, in most cases, is going to die. And I understand for some of you people that are involved in these kind of things, I know that there are some species of different things that you can take off and you can plant that and it will grow as well. I find that rather amazing. There are kinds of trees that you can get and you can take a little cutting off of a tree and you can plant it and that little cutting will grow another tree or another plant. And it's kind of amazing. But for sake of illustration here, forget those exceptions. For the most part, you clip off a branch off of a vine, and what's the result? It's not going anywhere. It's dead. It's done. Very important. So the vine is what supplies that plant its life. Cut away, and that plant doesn't have any more life. It has no vessel to bring that life to it. It is the stability of the plant. You think of a vine, and although some vines need more stability, that vine is there to stabilize it, and it's there for structure.
It's there for support. For without that main trunk, those branches would be too flimsy to hold themselves up. And so the vine is good for a lot of things. Again, life and stability and structure. It would even be good for safety, to keep maybe those other branches and the fruit off of the ground, for when they get to the ground, then disease and rodents and other things would get there. And so, honestly, the vine, the trunk for a plant or a tree is very important. Very important to the stability, the productivity, to the safety, the health and management of that plant. It's the sustenance of this plant. And here, Jesus says to his disciples, I am the vine. Israel was referred to in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and other places of Scripture as his vine. Israel was. And I don't know here if he's thinking about Israel or not, and the point is not that, but I do think that there is an element here that Jesus is identifying himself apart from others, whether it was the Jewish religion or whether it was just other imposters, but here we see that he identifies himself as the true vine as opposed to the false vine. Some would argue that they don't think that Jesus was finding a vine that was right there and looking at it, because why would he say, I'm the true vine? This is not the real vine. Again, I don't know if there's a lot to that or not, but I know one thing, that Jesus is saying, I'm the vine, and he's also saying, I'm the true, and there's also false vines out there. There are things in life that provided those people with a false sense of life. In fact, let's take for a moment as we go down through some of these things, the characteristics of a vine. What promises to give life today that we know is false? What things are out there that again promise life? You take this product and it's going to give you life. We look to so many different things, and life is promised through this. And we could be talking about physical life, we could be talking about even spiritual life, but there are things that tell us that you stick with this and you're going to have life. I think that there are some things that are very important. Obviously, we need food. Obviously, we need health. I think it's important that we have exercise. I think it's important in some cases, and depending on who I'm talking to, your level of health is different. Some people would say that your body needs certain vitamins and certain minerals, and we need this to have life. And I think that there's an element of truth somewhat to all of these things. How you take it is your own business, and I'm not preaching on that today. But either way, as we look at things, life and the promise of life certainly is real with the things that are true to life. We need to have these certain things in order to have life. We could even take it a little further, and we could talk about health maintenance or even health doctoring and going to the physician to help us with that. And we could make a good point today that it's important that, you know, a doctor or some sort of a health coach or physician is there to help us in life so that we can be healthy and to help us and to maintain our lives. And yet in all these things, and I could go on in different levels of life, and all those things, we understand that who is the source and sustenance and maintenance of our lives? We know him to be Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is we rely so much upon other things for life. Jesus says, I am the true. If I can put it this way, I'm the true life. There are lots of ways in which a believer, a person, could look as their safety, their structure, their security of life. And I think, I personally, in my own personal life, I do think it's important to take care of our health. I do think it's important to make sure that we're getting the right nutrition and nutrients. And I do think it's important that we get the right rest. I do think it's important that we see people or have people in our lives that can help us with our health. But let's not forget, folks, that Jesus is the true vine. I honestly believe that he's not just, you say, Pastor, he's purely talking about spiritual here. I don't think so, because he says, I am. I'm everything to you. I am the true vine. I am everything that you thought that was what you need. Isn't it amazing how we go to so much for? We'll spend lots of money on doctors. We'll spend lots of money on vitamins. We'll spend lots of money on health, you know, exercise equipment. We'll spend lots of money on a certain type of things. And I am not saying here this morning that I think that Jesus is saying, throw those things away. I don't think he's saying that. But what I do think he's saying is it's time that you take your reliance upon me for the truth. You need me. You need me for life. You need me for stability. How many things do we look for in our, and I'm even talking to Christians, I'm not talking about just the world. How many things in our Christian lives do we look for someone else, something else to be even our stability? I don't know about you, but for me, when I look at my checkbook and I see my account and there's a lot of, you know, I say a lot or maybe a safe amount of funds in the checking account, it provides a little bit of stability. You know what I'm talking about. There's some stability there. You say, okay, I don't have to worry about that. In a very careful way, I've got to be careful not to look at that account as stability for me. We look for stability in monetary things. We look for stability even work. You know, we have a good job that right now is very secure. And so we look at stability there, something that's not changing. And, you know, right now, some of us are tempted in these, not so much tempted, but we're challenged maybe in these areas, because right now there's a lot in our society that is not so stable. And maybe right now is a time of worry and fear. But even the opposite of what we're looking at here is the stability or the instability, folks, is not having to even be worried about, because the constant is Jesus. He's saying, I'm the true vine. It's don't be fooled by the false vines of health. Don't be fooled by the false vines of money and job. Don't be fooled by the stability of a good solid home that some of you have, and you got a good foundation, you got a good roof right now. You know, you paid the money and you got a good roof and you've got a good siding, you've got good windows maybe. And I know for some of you, you say, boy, I need those things. But sometimes we get our stability in some physical things. Maybe you've got stability or the lack of stability in your vehicle. It's running well right now. I've paid the money for this well-running vehicle, and there's stability there for me. I depend on it, and I believe it's going to get me to work. Some of you on the opposite side, you say, boy, I need some stability because my vehicle isn't very dependable to get me there. The point that I'm trying to make is, don't we quickly look at our lives and we base our stability off of some of the things that we have. We look and there are times in our lives we feel more stable than others. Sometimes a young couple would get married and we would look at them and say, they're not very stable right now. They need to get some stability, get a good job and get furnished in your home and get the clothing that you need and get stabilized in your life. Stability can come from a supportive people. It's good to have friends. It's good to have relatives around. It's good to have help. I remember back in our Wyoming days, it was valuable to have family members around when there was a problem with the house or the car, that I didn't have to call the person that I had to pay. I had a relative that knew how to do it. There was some stability there in help. It's valuable to have people that around you that know what to do and how to get it done. It's valuable to have a church around you that is here for health and support and strength and encouragement. Now, I say all those things, yet, folks, Jesus steps up to the plate here and he says, but I'm the true vine. Some of you recently have loved, have lost a loved one. And I've told you that I don't know what that's like. I don't understand what it's like. But I have thought to myself, what would my life be like if something happened and I lost my wife? And I'll tell you something. I have thought to myself, I don't know what I would do. And we look at a spouse, we look at a family, and we say, my stability is within this individual, folks. And God does give us a husband. God gives us a wife. God gives us our children to help out with stability, for sure. And we need to be thankful for it while we have it, because they might not always be there. But even with something such as valuable as a spouse, my friend, can I tell you that that's not the true vine? He or she cannot be the ones that your life totally revolves around. And when they're taken away, then you can't do anything. Our life needs to depend on Jesus. And I'm getting into it right away here, because he starts off in the first couple words, I'm the true vine. And really quickly, we have to look at our lives and say, who are we looking to for our stability, for our support, for our structure, for our safety? This could be a debated topic, and we're not here preaching about it, but for some people, their safety is in a lock on their door. For some people, it's a gun by their side. For some people, it's an alarm system that... And there's nothing wrong with all of these things. And I think that God has given us things to help us. I don't think that God means to throw away the gun and the door lock and open ourselves up. It's just, that's not the point. But isn't it so easy that we look at the vines of life and totally rely upon them when Jesus is there, just like he was to Thomas? You remember, Thomas is saying, God, I need this, this, and this. Others are saying, and I need this help, and this help, and this help. And all the time, Jesus has never left his spot since we started this series. He's still right here. He's still right here in front of you, and his answer is always the same. I am. And it's true with the applications of the vine. Again, that doesn't mean that we throw away these things, but folks, I want to tell you, if our security is in our money or in our wallet or in our lock or in our pocket, if our security is in our home, a relationship, we're looking to a wrong vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Connection to this vine was important. There's the vine. Now let's get a little bit more specific. One of the things that makes the vine valuable is the accessibility or the availability. It's right there. Now, isn't it true that we live in a very accessible and available world? It used to be that you had to travel a long way to experience a certain thing. You had to get up and go somewhere. You needed your vehicle. You needed to go and do this. It wasn't this last year or two that my wife saw this ad, and I don't even know what it's called. Some of you would know what it is. They advertise this place where you can shop online for all your vehicles, and you can just get it online. It's kind of funny. you got to get there to get the vehicle, you know, at some point in time or whatever, but you've got everything accessible. You can shop for everything at home. You know, if you don't want to go out into the hustle and bustle and all of Christmas time, you can get on your phone or a computer and you can buy all your Christmas presents, you know, online these days, and they'll get delivered to your door in you know, a matter of hours or a couple days. You know, everything is available. If you want to hear any music or any song, all you got to do is punch it in and it's there. If you want to know how to do anything, all you have to do is go to certain sites on there and hit this and you can research any subject and watch somebody lead you through every single point and camera angle that you need to do to accomplish this. Everything in this world is becoming so available that we don't need anything else. We live in an accessible world. We're connected to people like we've never been connected before. And I'm not preaching against this connection. I think it's all on how you apply it. I will say this, that it can be a very positive thing. I remember in the early years when my parents lived so far away, a couple thousand miles away, and they didn't have neither of us had the funds to go back and visit each other every week, and so that our kids, as they were being born, as they were being raised, knew who their grammy and grampy were, and it was a hard thing for us because every single time that my parents came to visit us, it was a time of reacquaintance. If they came in for a year, if they came in for a week, honestly, it would take the first couple days and it was when they were littler, for them to get familiar with them again to where they really enjoyed the time together. It took a while for them to warm up. But now, because my mom can, and she does, you know, do a video or a whatever it is, there's different ways that they can do it. It's just a matter of just like a phone call, and there is to my kids Grammy's face, and she's talking to them, and she hear their voice, so that when they come the next visit, they're picking right up from yesterday when they did their call, video call. And it can be a very valuable thing, and I'm thankful for my children that they can be connected almost immediately and flawlessly at any time that way. We live in a world that is so connected. I love the fact that very quickly that Melissa and I can schedule a time with Jed and Gloria Duarte, and we, through, again, one of these means, we can be talking with our missionary at the same time of their day and be getting what's going on in their lives. I'll tell you, friends, it can be a valuable thing, and I don't think we all ought to flush it down. But it can also be used in a wrong way, can't it? And we all know that it can be used in a very wrong way. Because that means that any time I can be looking at the garbage of this world in a heartbeat. At any moment, if I wanted to, I can pull up anything that I want to do, and that can be a very dangerous thing. So, and the point is, I'm not really preaching on these dangerous things. We live in a very connected world. We understand connection. You know, the vine connects us to God. Jesus is here, and we use our cell phones to be connected to whatever we want to these days. Where's the nearest whatever? We search whatever nearest me. You know, the vine for us connects us immediately to God. That's Jesus. No, Jesus is saying, I am. I'm here for the transportation of life. You know, we don't need to go anywhere, and I can give you life right now. Jesus says, He is here for stability right now. You know, we don't need to call that friend. Jesus is here right now, and we're connected faster than we can be connected with our phones. He's available for life. He's available for stability. My friend, I want to tell you, you feel like you're lacking in sustenance, and God, through Jesus Christ, is right there. And you thought it was just your phone that connected you. Friends, I want to tell you that the true vine is Jesus. Life, stability, sustenance, structure, and support. We don't need to write in to dear whoever and get a newspaper response to help us with our problems, because Jesus cares. And He's there. He's there for safety. We don't have to go beef our vehicle up with a cattle guard on the front of our trucks like they all have out in Wyoming, because I don't want it to get dented in. I want to tell you something. We've got Jesus there to protect us and help us as we go down the road. I find it a little interesting, and I don't know where they got it. Of course, we live in a small I world. You've got your iPhones, and you've got your iPads, and your iPods, and your iMacs, and your i, and I'm probably missing some I things that are out there. And I don't know that they meant it to be that way, but I think that they're trying to replace the I am. Because they're setting things up to where that's all you need. It's all you need. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have an iPhone. I've got an Android-based phone. It's interesting that the word Android is like man. You know, we pull out whatever we have, and the point is to replace life. I do believe there's a worldly agenda out there to place the I am. We don't need God for anything anymore. We don't need to pray for it, because all I've got to do is pull it up. I can get it delivered to my house. We're going to see that time get less and less and less. It's going to get to the point probably to where upon demand we can almost have it there. It's very close. And I believe that they're replacing God. I am. But friends, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is there. And we need to be thankful for the accessibility. Let's not get too carried away with the accessibility of what's in our pocket, and know that what's in our heart, He has the ability to help us, and we can be connected to Him all the time. He says, I am the vine. We need to praise the Lord for an accessible God, available God all the time. Friend, who are you looking to? What are you looking to be your I am? I'm really preaching this to you. It's amazing how many independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, church-going Christians are looking to these when they should be looking to Jesus. We're hooked. Did you hear me? Now, some of you are, not me, Pastor, not me. Be careful. We're hooked. I'm calling upon you today. We need to turn away from the little eyes and turn to the great I. The great I am, to be everything for us. You know what? Today, our entertainment is on these little things too. In fact, we can't spend 10 minutes without being on these things. Have you ever watched somebody that's absolutely hooked and addicted to these things? They can't spend 5 seconds without checking to see who communicated with them, what is going on, whatever. And all they do is sit there and press and flip and then put it in their pocket. And I was at a funeral one time, and it was a long line for the receiving line. I was at a funeral, and there was a guy that was just a couple up from me, and I was there, and I couldn't help but watch him, because he sat there, and this is exactly, I'm not exaggerating, it looked like this. He would get it out. Obviously, there wasn't anything to look at, because he would put it back in. He would stand there for about 10 seconds, and then he would get it again, and he would sit there and flip through it and put it back in his pocket. 10 more seconds. He did that forever. And we all smile and we laugh and say, yep, he's preaching to those people. Folks, this is what we are doing. Some of us can't go very long without checking our email, checking our texts, checking the weather, checking our messages, checking our this, and we don't know what to do. What would happen if our phones and our computers, what would happen if they all stopped working? It might be a glorious day. You say, but I wouldn't know the weather. And I check the weather too, okay? I wouldn't be able to connect with... But let's remember, who's our connection? The true vine. And I'm not preaching. If we walk, you'll see me pull it out. I'm not going to stop pulling it out. But I want to tell you something. If this is who I'm relying upon for my stability, for my structure, for my security, for my entertainment, folks, we should joy in the Lord. Some of us are, this is our fun. My kids didn't grow up watching a bunch of stuff on the television or on the screen or whatever. We didn't do it, and I'm not bragging about it, but we didn't do it. I want to tell you still to this day, if there's something that comes up and there's a little video that somebody sends and I push play and noise comes out of it, I get five individuals running to me really quickly. Because it's fun. What is it? What is it? Now, I know that that's not the way of the world, but for somebody that's not, there's something about it that's really attractive. And too much of it gets us dependent upon that very thing, that's what we're looking to, and the I am is getting pushed out of our lives. We need to be careful to understand that Jesus is the true vine. And he's the one that we need to be attached to. He's the one that we need to be, that is accessible. He's the one that's available to us. We look and see, look at verse 4. We see, okay, I am the vine. I am the true vine, Jesus says. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. But what I want you to see here is productivity. That the vine allows for production. And you understand that. It attaches and it provides for, you know, the sustenance and everything. But what's the purpose of all that sustenance and structure, stability and support? It's so that the vine can do what? Produce. That's really one of the main things of that vine. Why have a vine if it's not going to produce something? And in the end of it, eventually, is going to come out a grape or a whatever it is. The vine is attached and fruit is going to come from it. Vines bear fruit. They produce fruit. That's what is one of the things that makes them valuable. In our lives, I want to tell you folks that the answer to productivity is Christ. Now, what was the fruit in this passage? Another highly debated thing among scholars. Some would say that the fruit was the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace. And I would say that I couldn't argue against that. If we're not connected to the vine, is it possible for us to have the fruits of the Spirit? No, of course not. We can't have them unless we're connected to Him. A person of the world that is not connected to Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ is not going to be a person that can have the fruits of the Spirit. Doesn't mean they can't be happy or they might do something like that, but it is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is not. They're not connected. They cannot produce it. So I would say that it could be that the fruit that we get from being connected to Jesus are the fruits of the Spirit. We do get those things by being connected to Him. Others would say that the fruit was souls. The fruit Oftentimes in the scriptures, especially with Jesus, he talks about fruit, and it's related to sharing the gospel with people, and you get fruit from it. And so there's more fruit that is produced. Where do I fall into it? I'm not 100% sure, but I probably, at least in this message, am leaning more to that side of things. People and fruit from our work and giving out the gospel and seeing people saved, being connected to the vine. I think you can make application to both, but for this morning, I want to tell you this, that the answer to reaching people and producing fruit in our Christian lives that is fruit that we can see from living the Christian life and people being influenced and discipled and growing from that, the answer to it is being connected to Jesus Christ. It's the same answer. Jesus is the answer to winning these people, to winning the world, in our soul-winning efforts. The answer is Jesus. Pastor Dan could come up with the greatest efforts to go out and to do this and to invite here and to do all of this for our evangelistic efforts. We could produce a nice pamphlet. We could produce a nice billboard. We could do all kinds of neat things. And there's nothing wrong with doing that to help. But everybody listen to this. And I'm preaching to myself here. It's not the good logo that's going to save a person. It's not going to be the fancy, you know, these days, the QR code that yesterday, you know, when I got, you know, and Pastor Dan put it on the thing that I could take a picture on my phone and it gave me the directions right to go there. I didn't have to even think about it. It's not going to be a big banner. It's not going to be, and I want to say this carefully because we need to do things here at the church. We need to have outreach. We need to come up with, you know, I love the fact that we're having a Messiah a thing on, you know, in a couple weeks here. I love that. It's not going to be because of beautiful voices. It's not going to be because he puts together a good presentation on the screen. It won't be that. If somebody trusts Christ, who's the answer? Jesus. He will be the reason that anybody comes to him. If a visitor comes through our door that we've maybe been praying about for a while, and they come to trust Christ, the reason for that is not because we did this and we did that. It'll be because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, came into that person's heart and life and convinced them of their sin, convinced them of the righteousness of God, convinced them of judgment to come, and they trust Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. That's the answer. The answer is Jesus for our soul winning. You know, the answer for that loved one that you have been praying for, the answer is not some thing that you do for them, although God uses acts of love. Again, I'm not divorcing. We ought to show people we love them. We ought to do things for people. We ought to do programs here where we can invite people to come and see. But as long as we understand that it is Jesus that does the work and not our efforts, not our fancy this and our fancy that, your loved one needs Jesus. Do you realize what hope that is and what pressure that takes off of us? We need to pray Jesus in their lives. And until Jesus comes in, they won't be saved. Until the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and lives and makes a connection, they will not be saved. You can do all you want to. You can do the biggest and the best of everything. But people are going to get saved because of Jesus and the cross of Christ. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. 1 Corinthians talks about the preaching of the cross as foolishness. But it's the power of God unto salvation. We're going to talk more about this. And God brought it for such a time as this, that we learned this. Jesus is the true vine. If there's going to be life, it's going to be because of Jesus. Productivity comes from Jesus. That tough coworker, that tough neighbor that you're trying to win, the answer for them, yeah, he might use a big smile, he might use a box of cookies. But the reason why they get saved is because of Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. And by the way, he cannot, listen to this, he cannot and should not be replaced. When we, listen, when we as Christians or as a church begin to think that we need to replace Jesus and his message with us and our ways, we will lose. We will lose. We will, it will not work. But as I mentioned last week, and it will come out again tonight because we're still in the same passage in 1 Corinthians, it is our human temptation to feel that we have to expand upon what Jesus did already. And that would be to our shame. Lastly, the vine is essential. Essential. Verse 5 ends with, "For without me ye can do," what's the word? Nothing. It's not that Jesus with us is so productive. Without him, we can't do anything. It's on the other side of things. It's not like Jesus is he's utilitarian that we can put in our pocket when we need him. Boy, we can be productive. We got the power right then and right there. And we use Jesus in that way. Without him, we have nothing. Nothing at all. We can't do anything to please him without him. The vine is essential to any branch. And a live branch does not exist without the vine. We must understand that Jesus, as the true vine, is essential for the Christian. And if we're not connected to him directly, on a regular basis, our spiritual life will die. Now, we're not talking about losing our salvation. We're talking about the productivity. We'll not be able to do anything without him. Life. Stability. Without him, there can be no stability. Some of the richest people in the world were some of the most unstable people because riches don't bring stability. Structure, support. Ask them, they'll tell you. I wonder if we could hear the voices of hell today, like what was given to us in the scriptures on Lazarus. And what was Lazarus' response? Tell them from the pit of hell that they need him. Life, stability, sustenance, structure, support, safety. You know, I wonder why so many Christians, as I close now, I wonder why so many Christians have lifeless lives. There's no question that they're saved and they are on their way to heaven because no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. They're on their way to heaven. They don't care about the Lord. They're not living for the Lord. No product. No Christian life lived. And you wonder why. Why have they changed so drastically that they don't care anymore? We all know people like this. They're all around us. The answer is this: without abiding in Christ, it's impossible to live the Christian life. Without him, the Christian life becomes very difficult, very impossible, very frustrating. And the end result is usually some sort of destruction. Jesus cannot be ignored. You know, I think about a car. We spend a lot of money for a car. Nice fancy truck or car or whatever it is. But you know, that car is only as valuable as a set of keys. Think about it. I know they make keyless whatever now. You're getting ahead of me. Forget it, okay? But you know what I'm talking about, the key. A car is useless without a key. Folks, can I tell you, the Christian life without Jesus is useless. Just as going over to the vine, clipping off the branch, and saying, this thing is now rendered useless. Jesus is everything, and he's still standing to each one of us today. And here's the real question is, what are we looking, who are we looking to for all of these things? And I'll tell you, the Christian needs to call this to attention today, because the Christian is starting to turn to all the things of the world to keep them going rather than Jesus. Could you sing the song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything? Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, that I would get this. Lord, that I would get this. God, help us to turn our eyes off of this things of this world and turn our eyes to Jesus. Help us to stop putting so much attention on our finances and so much attention on our work and so much attention on our possessions and so much attention on our fun things that we have, our entertainment, so much possession or attention on our relationships that we have and fellowship and all this. Lord, and I pray that we'd put our attention on Jesus. He's still standing here saying the same thing. I am. I am. God, I pray that we would live our lives for I am. That Jesus would be everything to us. Even in this Christmas season, may Jesus be the reason for everything. God, help us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. One of the last